Welcome to Johnny and Friends Family Retreat online. It's not been so bad so far, has it? I mean, I don't know if it's been difficult for you. It's been interesting for me here on the other end of this camera. But it's better than not meeting. And we're very glad for the opportunity you have doing this online. And I'm sure that you would like me to say thank you to Maria and Liz for all the hard work that they put into this and getting it set up and all the organization. Thank you, Maria. Thank you, Liz. We love you very much. Thank you for all that you do in the work of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're looking at Psalm 17. And on the first day, we looked at the six overarching themes that come from that psalm, stated by David. And then on day number two, we looked particularly at verse 7, that God would show us the wonders of his love and his steadfast love. Today, what I want to do is to look a little bit more carefully at verse 8. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings. There are two little phrases there. Keep me as the apple of your eye and hide me in the shadow of your wings. And those two little phrases, in slightly different ways, describe for us what it means to have God care for us and for God to protect us. And if you like, what we're really talking about when he keeps us as the apple of his eye or when he hides us in the shadow of his wings, what we're really talking about is what it feels like to be loved, what it feels like to be loved by God. So what I want to do today is to look at each of them in turn. I'll probably spend a little longer on the apple of your eye, since it's a little more detail to it than hiding under the shadow of your wings. What does it mean when we ask God to keep us as the apple of his eye? Well, strictly speaking, the apple of the eye means the pupil. And if you were to describe it in that particular sense, you know, that aperture that's at the center of the human eye. And the pupil, like the apple of the eye, or that little dark spot, is something that always needs to be protected. You do not want to damage that pupil, and you do not want to irritate the pupil of your eye. So, for example, when you're doing certain things, you will wear protective goggles. At least on most DIY channel programs, they wear protective goggles. It's the main cabin masters that don't seem to wear goggles. But you'll wear them sometimes if you're riding a motorcycle, so you don't get a fly in your eye. Or you might wear them when you're swimming, so that you don't have to deal with all that chlorine. Or you'll wear them when you're welding, some kind of protective gear that comes down and covers your eyes. Or when you're tearing out insulation, you'll wear protective goggles. Rightly so. So when we use that little phrase, the apple of your eye, we're saying, yeah, you know, something's important, needs to be protected. But we also use that little phrase to mean something that is our favorite or something that's cherished and that we hold on to very tightly. Someone might say to you, that wee baby is the apple of your eye. Well, someone might say that to me as a grandfather. And I would say, yep, that little baby is the apple of my eye. Or someone might say to you, oh, that boyfriend of yours or that girlfriend of yours is the apple of your eye. And you might think, yep, yep. Because we're speaking about love. To view someone as the apple of our eye is to love them. They're special to us. And here we are in Psalm 17, verse 8, asking God, keep me as the apple of your eye. We're asking God for his love. Maybe it's like asking for a hug. There's nothing wrong with that, is there? There's nothing wrong in asking for a hug. Sometimes it's the very thing we need to do. This little phrase, the apple of your eye, also has another picture inside it. And I can illustrate it for you. You know, something that happened many, many years ago. One day, when our children were small, one of them was sitting up on his mother's lap. He was gazing up into her face. And as he gazed into her eyes, he suddenly realized that he could see a reflection of himself in his mother's eye. And without hesitating, he just burst out and said, "I see Mark." Well, now you know which of my children it was. He could see a little reflection of himself in his mother's eye. Now, it's interesting that the Hebrew words that are described here as apple of the eye have that very same thought about seeing the reflection of yourself in someone's eye. David, very literally, the words that he uses in Hebrew language very literally are, "Guard me as the little man of the eye." Isn't that beautiful? A similar idea is found in our use of the word pupil to describe the apple of the eye, the pupil. It comes from the Latin word pupilla, which means little doll. And I think it reflects the fact that those who spoke Latin understood that sometimes when you're looking into someone else's eye, you see a little tiny reflection of yourself. So if that's the case, then what is David praying when he says, "Keep me as the apple of your eye, keep me as the little man in your eye"? I think the prayer means that God would keep us in his eye because we're also in his heart. We're asking for his love and his affection and his protection. The same idea has already been stated in other scriptures. There are other portions of God's word that speak about us being the apple of God's eye. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 10 and following, here's the description of God's love for his people. "He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bringing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him as no foreign god was with him." Now that verse in Deuteronomy is important because the two ideas are there at the same time. Keep me as the apple of your eye and spread out your wings and protect me. Both of them are found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. Or a similar phrase is used in Proverbs chapter 7, 1 and 2. "My son, keep my words, treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye." In other words, that you would love God's word and love God's truth and keep that as the apple of your eye. You pray for God to keep you as the apple of his eye. You pray that God would help you keep his word as the apple of your eye. Well, here's another verse in Zechariah chapter 2 and verse 8. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, after his glory sent me to the nations who plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye." In other words, when someone pokes you, they're really poking God in the eye. That's how much we're identified with God as the apple of his eye. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's how precious you are to God. That's how closely bound up you are to his heart. That anyone who hurts you hurts the apple of his eye. So what do we really mean when we ask God to keep us as the apple of his eye? I find the remarks of Charles Spurgeon to be really helpful on this thought. And you'll forgive me, but I'm just going to quote a number of little paragraphs from him. I'm going to make sure that they get put up here on the screen, and there'll be a copy for you later as well, I'm sure. But these thoughts, I just find them comforting and encouraging. Here's what Spurgeon said. "God has bestowed extraordinary pains upon all that concerns your eye. Being one of the most tender organs of the physical body, he's used many devices so that it should be well preserved, notwithstanding its exceeding sensitiveness. Nor is the eye merely sheltered by its own position, but sentries guard it, like eyelids and eyelashes. Sentries guard the eye lest it should be exposed to peril. Whenever the eye is threatened with even the appearance of danger, no time is lost consulting with yourself, but with agility so brisk it seems almost involuntary, the arm is lifted up, the hand is raised to screen the eye from harm or to resist attack. See, do you see the picture that Spurgeon is painting here? Even the way your physical eye is and the way you protect it, well, that's what you're like to God. He understands and is going to protect you. Here's Spurgeon again. I ask for such protection. That's our prayer. Keep me as the apple of your eye. I ask for such protection. Do not lead me into temptation. Do not allow the offense of my career or the incidents of my daily life to entangle me so that I'm unable to escape out of the perplexing snares. Let the powers of heaven fight for me. That's what you're praying. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Let the powers of heaven fight for me. Let the powers of heaven fight for my family. Let the powers of heaven fight for my children. Spurgeon goes on. He says, keep me with every provision for my safety. Keep me with all your heavenly hosts, all your holy troops, with cherubim and seraphim, with providence and grace and love, keep me as the apple of the eye. I like that. I think Spurgeon is helpful. He's teaching us that we're praying to God that he would be constant in his care, that he would be careful and vigilant and powerful in his care for ourselves, for our little children, for your little children. Many of you are crying this very prayer. Lord, please protect them. As they grow older, and as I grow older, please keep my children as the apple of your eye. Please keep your hand upon them when my hand is not there to help them. It's a godly prayer. It's a godly prayer. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Keep my children as the apple of your eye. But you know, you're not only asking God to keep you in all the big things of life. You're also thinking about the small things. I like the way Spurgeon thinks about this. He says, the smallest grain that floats in the summer's breeze will vex and irritate and cause the scalding tears to flow. And you know by painful experience how much suffering you may endure from a grain of sand which you can scarcely see. So Spurgeon says, may this be your prayer then. Lord, keep me from what the world calls little sins. Lord, keep me from what my callous conscience may make me think is a little sin. Sometimes we tolerate the little things, yet they are the things that cause such irritation. Keep me as the apple of your eye is a prayer for God's constant, careful, powerful care in all things, that my eye will always see clearly and will always love him in return. Charles Wesley has a hymn that somewhere in the middle of it has a verse, quick as the apple of an eye, O God, my conscience make, awake my soul when sin is nigh, and keep it still awake. That's a good prayer. Maybe you're still struggling with the picture of being kept as the apple of God's eye. Well, remember this. It is as I look to Jesus that I see that I am loved, and that he loves me and protects me as though I was the pupil of his own eye. It is as I look to Jesus, I see that he sees me. And not only does he see me, I'm not only in his eye, I'm in his heart too. Isn't that comforting? And here's the other phrase. Not only are we praying that God would keep us as the apple of his eye, but the other little phrase is that God would hide me in the shadow of his wings. Now remember, I pointed out to you earlier that the same thought was already contained in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 10. He speaks of him finding his people in a desert land, in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him, he cared for him, he kept him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions. The Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. You know, the psalm really is an expression of yearning, of longing, of the desires of our heart. And we yearn not only to be the apple of God's eye, the apple of Christ's eye, but we also yearn to be sheltered under his wings. We yearn that for ourselves. We yearn that for our children, don't we? That we would be like a little brood under him, protected by him, loved by him. Well, I think it's important that you remember that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ yearns for, too. Remember these words from Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. This is part of the yearning love of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often I would have gathered your children as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. You can have no doubt that Christ yearns to pull us to him and to protect us. But those are sad and shocking words. He says to the people in Jerusalem, you were not willing. Let it not be said that we wanted to be loved by God, but we were not willing. Make this your prayer today. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Make that your prayer, that you might love God and be loved by God, all through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let's pray. Our Father, we rejoice of the willingness of the Lord Jesus Christ to love us. To love us by laying down his life upon the cross. To love us by rising again from the dead. To love us by sending the Holy Spirit to quicken our slow hearts. So, our God and Father, as your word uncovers our yearnings, so we thank you that it also reveals to us your yearnings. We thank you for sending your Son, and we pray that you will help us to embrace him and love him and enjoy all the love that flows from him. Hear us, because we pray for ourselves and our children and our children's children, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.